This is what makes me.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
And I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C, James.
Live from Tampa, Florida, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Mark James.
Joining us right now, live from Utah, is the reigning MVP from the defending NBA world champion Golden State Warriors, who are Steph Curry here in the jungle. What's up, Steph?
What's up, Mark? How you doing?
Thanks to Mark James, who came in here the last couple of days, did a bang-up job.
There's a lot of great sports talk hosts out there. Who's your favorite, though?
Mark with a C, James, baby.
Thanks, Steph. Steph Curry, the Golden State Warriors.
Phony Michelle.
Chris Frail.
Jarrett Studdum.
Tuca or Puka.
Garbage Hayward.
Byrie Irving.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
A late penalty against Boston. Gunnarsson to O'Reilly. To Gunnarsson. He scores! Boom, boom, Gunnarsson! Bring out the Zamboni. The Blues win game 2. 3-2 the final. They're coming home tied at 1.
3-2 is swung on and line to left, the base hit, and two runs will score. Benintendi looks at the play, throws it into second, it's 3-1 Yankee.
Sales pitch, another ball hit deep to right center field by LeMahieu. That ball is gone. Into the bullpen, the Yankee bullpen in right center field. The 1-2 pitch, struck him out, high fastball, swung on and missed for strike three. The Red Sox go in order in the ninth. Chapman has his 16th save. And the Yankees take game one of this three-game series.
Well, well, well. Greetings and salutations. This is yours truly, Mark, with AC James, coming to you live on WEEI. It's a tremendous Saturday out there in New England. It feels like football weather. It's beautiful outside, so I'm inside with you, talking to each and every one of you. But we will, I will galvanize and polarize all of you, I'm sure, by the end of the show, if you will lend me your ears for the next epic 4 hours that I will be here until 3 o'clock. The number to get in is 617-779-7937. And I'll get to the Dead Sox, because the Dead Sox, they look exactly like the team that is living. You know, right? I'll just start there real quick, because I want to get in the Bruins here too and what happened in game two the other night. But the Dead Sox, as they look right now, they're like that high school senior who graduated 5 years ago, who keeps showing up to the high school parties to relive his glory days. That's the Red Sox of 2019. They keep living in last year. That's what they're doing. And everything they go, how's those two contracts looking so far for Dave Dombrowski for Nathan Eovaldi and Chris Sale? $213 million combined. Chris Sale leads all of Major League Baseball pitchers with 7 losses. 7. Oh, how about the Yankees? When they have a lead through 7 innings, they are now 31-0 on the season. Can't say that for the bullpen, who have blown, when they've had 21 save opportunities, have blown it 9 times, nearly half the amount. Nearly 50% rate. Yankees, no doubt. Betances, amazing. Chapman, 16 save of the season last night. Not so much for the Red Sox. And I know it's only June 1st, and I know we've got not one, not two, not three, but 4 months to go in the season, which is another, don't even get me started. But while we have 4 months to go in the season, I'm getting very close to basically putting a nail in the Red Sox coffin for the division. Not the wild card, because the wild card is still obviously attainable. There's no question. There's 2 wild card spots. They'll be in the hunt for that till the very end of the season. But I'm about to declare the Yankees the 2019 American League East Division champions. They are 10 times better than the Red Sox. Oh, and by the way, I haven't even seen the ace, the ace of their staff, Luis Severino, he hasn't even pitched once this year because he's been hurt. So imagine when Severino comes back. Oh, yeah, Eduardo Nunez. Nice job getting picked off last night at second base by Gary Sanchez.
And that is just bad baseball by Nunez.
Oh, Sean McDonough, you can say that again. You can say that again, Sean McDonough.
And that is just bad baseball by Nunez.
Oh, are you kidding me? By the way, Eamon, I got to tell you this. A producer extraordinaire, one of the favorite people I love listening to. You know what's funny? Let me just say this about the cesspool text line. It literally took, Eamon, I don't know, less than 2 minutes before some star for attention loser on the text line said, Dead Sox, changing station.
Oh, good point by a text.
It's like, you're like that scorned ex-girlfriend who keeps clicking on her ex-boyfriend's Instagram page and looking at all the pictures because he's moved on in his life with better than you are. And you're like, oh, and you keep like texting him, quote, well, I'm over you. I'm over you. Okay, then if you want to do that, then go right ahead. Because I said Dead Sox, if you want to change the station, then change the station. I can assure you, this is the best weekend show on the radio. I'm one half of the favorite weekend show that was favorited by the great Kirk Minahan, who's moved on. Congratulations to him as he's moving on to Barstool. As he loved me and Greg Dickerson. So I'm one half of that. If that's what you want to do, go. Because I said Dead Sox, like I offended you. Can you be happy with this team so far? After 2 months of crap, can you be happy at what you've seen with one of the worst bullpens in baseball? Giving $213 million for Evaldi and Chris Frail, who's turning into Chris Sale? Or actually, should I say Chris Fail? Yeah. He's 1-7. 7 losses, most in Major League Baseball. Here you go. Here's $145 million. Why? Because John Henry did not want to repeat the same mistake made when losing John Lester to free agency. So instead they just threw a bunch of money at Chris Frail. $145 million to be exact. Nathan Eovaldi, haven't seen him in like 6 weeks. Oh, I love, thank you, 413. I am spot on with the Dead Sox. They're dead. They look dead right now. The Dead Sox. They look disinterested. They look lifeless. They look underwhelming.
I agree with what's been said.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that, John. And you cannot be happy if you're a Sox fan of what you've seen so far this season. And they're lucky they didn't get swept last weekend to the Astros. They'll be lucky if they don't get swept to the Yankees. It would have been a 4-game series, but of course it got rained out. It's going to be made up in August. But it just looks like a team. I'm not going to be surprised if the Yankees sweep them. The Red Sox by the end of the weekend are 10 and a half games out. It's you could tell, and you could see in spring training when Alex Cora came out and he's been asked about flipping the page from last year. Like, why do we don't want to turn the page?
Turn the page.
We don't want to. And how about Eamon? After the first series of the year when the Sox were horrible, I believe it was against Seattle or Arizona, or it might have been the second series, when he went right to the last year card. Remember that? That one? He threw the last year card down, which is cardinal mistake number one in this town. Have you ever?
It worked last year.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was cool when the starters were pitching October and coming out of the bullpen and be rovers. It's easy to second guess now because we didn't pitch well here.
Yeah, yeah. The 2018 World Series champion Red Sox are now the 2019 Boston dead Sox.
No, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was telling the Yankees to suck it. He's telling the Yankees to do this and do that. And, you know, oh, you can go ahead and, you know, how about that? Suck it.
Suck on it.
Yeah, suck on it. Yeah, Yankees ain't sucking on much this year, though. But the Red Sox are, or excuse me, the dead Sox are. The dead Sox. This is just, it's pathetic. I mean, watching that last night, I mean, Eduardo Nunez getting picked off at second base by Sanchez, a rookie mistake for a guy who's been in the league like 15 years. What are you doing? And the Yankees just continue, and don't give me, oh, Eovaldi's been hurt, or this guy's been hurt, or that guy's been hurt. Look at the Yankees' injuries. Nobody's been riddled with more injuries this season than the Yankees, and yet they continue to just keep on winning. They didn't throw any big money at Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. No. But there they are in first place right now. Now, I know it's only June 1st. I get it. And I understand that there are, you know, 369 more games to go or whatever it seems, it feels like it. But the Red Sox right now, they don't even look like they want to be there. And if you're going to live in 2018 and just be satisfied, because here's the thing about the Red Sox. Yes, they've won four World Series since 2004, which is the most in baseball. No question about it. But they've never repeated. And the last team to repeat was the 2000 Yankees.
The Yankees win.
So it's been a long time on that one. You've got to be disgusted. You've got to be ashamed and disgraced by what you've seen on the field so far this year. And they have way too much talent for this to be occurring and transpiring right before our very eyes. It's, I mean, you've got two MVP guys in Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez. You know, you've got a lineup. You've got pretty much your nucleus from last year, except for two guys, Joe Kelly and Craig Kimbrell. There's no reason why the Red Sox should be in the position that they are in. 617-779-7937. I wanted to start with the Bruins. I want to get right into the Bs and what happened in game two. And the Red Sox just completely, you know, I was just sick to watching that game last night. It just, last night's game was a microcosm of this season. But keep living in 2018, though. That's a great way to approach everyday life. Live like those guys that you went to school with in high school and you haven't seen, and you run into them at Star Market or Big Y 15 or 20 years later, and they're like, hey, remember back in your junior year when you did this in Mrs. So-and-so's class? No, but you did. I'm sure you remember it because it was the highlight of your life. I forgot about that, and I deleted it from my mental database. But apparently the Red Sox, they're still living in 2018. No, it's great. No, the bullpen looks great. Look great. They've only blown 9 saves in 21 opportunities. No, everything is just perfect. I'm sure they're just going to push a button, and everything on the season is going to be magically corrected. Just like last year. See, that's the difference, Alex Cora, is that everything just so magically worked out for you last year. You could put starters in the postseason coming out of the bullpen like Eovaldi and Sale, and everything just worked out no matter how many bonehead decisions he made last year. Things just had this way of working out. Even when the bullpen was sucking for the most part of the season, and we all knew going into the ALDS against the Yankees that the Red Sox' biggest weakness was their bullpen. And they showed up. They showed up for a month of October, and they were great. But doesn't helping you out much now. Like the late, great John Wooden from UCLA once said, a lot of teams have won one in a row. 617-779-7937. If you feel as though I'm being too hard on the Red Sox, you can go ahead and chime in on that. If you feel as though that I'm spot on, well, feel free to chime in there too. And I don't know what they can do because they actually have the lowest rated farm system amongst all 30 teams in baseball. Yoan Moncada is not walking through that door. Can't trade those guys anymore. They don't have anything left. You want to trade Chavis, a guy who stepped up and been the one bright spot of this season? Yeah, I mean, fine, but then you're left with nothing. So I don't know if trading a 23-year-old Chavis is the answer. I don't think it is the answer. So I don't know if I would do that if I was Dave Dombrowski. I think there was a lot of hubris that went into this season that just sort of thought that maybe, just maybe, we can just roll out of bed, show up to the ballpark, and there'll be this continuum from last year. Memo to the Red Sox. Bill Belichick does not allow, after the opening game of the year, if the Patriots had won the Super Bowl the previous season, he will not allow, after that opening ceremony, to hang up another banner. Bill Belichick does not allow any more highlights of the previous season whatsoever. None. He doesn't allow it, okay? So there's that. Like, you will not see, after that, you know, pregame ceremony before the kickoff game of the year, Belichick does not allow any highlights from the previous season. That's a fact. I know somebody who does that. He said, nope, he will not allow that at Gillette Stadium. He's moved on. He doesn't want to hear about last year. He doesn't want to see and get the guys to look back and say, oh, wow, man, we were great. No. It's next. And as much as it drives the media crazy, or some fans were like, we're on to Seattle, on to Cincinnati, on to Arizona, it's the great way to look. When you walk in, forget about training camp. Forget about mandatory minicamp. The day you come in, for the guys who show up for OTAs, the day you show up, he's erased everything that's happened on the first Sunday in February. It's done. Win or lose. It's a new season. There's no continuum. Sports are an anthology. They're not a continuum. Okay? So there's that. Every year is new. Every year is different. And I look at the Red Sox, and they don't seem to have grasped that whatsoever. And that's how the Patriots attack not only the game of football, but the game of life. Every season is different. 617-779-7937 to get in. Bruins, game 3 tonight in St. Louis. What happened in game 2? We'll get to that. And how bad has the one line been, not only in the first two games of the Stanley Cup, but all of the postseason? Oh, I've got something that's going to blow your mind on that one. I'll save that one coming up. Hey, Marcian, Pasta, and Bergeron, feel free to show up. The Stanley Cup has started, and you guys are nowhere to be found. You're on the back of some milk carton. We can't find your game anywhere. Feel free to show up and get ready and get this series back in control with Game 3 tonight, because that was absolutely one of the most piss-poor, pathetic performances I've ever seen, especially by two star players like Marchand and Pasternak the other night. Absolutely inexcusable. 617-779-7937. I'll get to all your phone calls, but it's time to trend right now. Sports are an anthology. They're not a continuum.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a new year, different challenges, obviously. I mean, consistency has been tough, and you can't really play this game and be good if you're inconsistent. And we're dealing with that, and we have a long way to go to fix it.
Amen, Mookie. Thank you, Mookie. That's all I want to hear. That to me is as honest and transparent as you can be. Just saying, yeah, it's different. That, like, here's a guy who won the MVP last year. He's not looking and saying, well, last year I won the MVP. No, No, he's just like, we're inconsistent. We've got to be better. Thank you. So all I want is you know, there's a couple of post-game comments this year made by Alex Cora, which are very John Farrell-esque. Very John Farrell-esque. And I don't want, it's to the point where it's like, no, just be honest. Like he said the other night, after they blew, after they blew that game to the Indians when they gave up like five runs there, he said after the game that he thinks that they've been, like, the bullpen's been pitching well.
You want to focus on the negative.
Right. Well, that's what we do. By the way, this is actually a pretty funny text line, very self-deprecating. If I can stand the next 4 hours of you, MJ, I think I can handle 4 months of crappy baseball. That's
the
a
Dead
pretty good
Sox.
One. 617-779-7937 to get in. Bruins getting ready for game three tonight against the St. Louis Blues. What happened in game two was you could just tell. And in terms of living in the moment, it seems like that's what the Bees did on that Torrey Krug hit. That you can tell the media didn't do the Bees any favors by asking the Blues about that hit over and over and over again. So they came out and they answered and they responded. And after tying the game in the first period, Binnington was phenomenal. The rookie goaltender was great. And Tuukka was great too. The defense was bad and the one line was absolutely pathetic. And I'm going to give you something right here. You ready for this one? So the one line, this postseason in games 1 through 3, there's been 11 games so far. Games 1 through 3. There'll be another one tonight, so I'll make it 12. They have 7 goals, 8 assists, 15 points with a minus 16 rating. Games 4 through 7, they have combined 8 games, 24 goals, 17 assists, 41 points with a plus 30 rating. So again, let me reiterate that. Games 1 through 3, the one line combines for 7 goals, 8 assists, 15 points with a minus 16 rating. Games 4 through 7, 24 goals, 17 assists, 41 points with a plus 30 rating. Oh, and by the way, the Bruins' top two lines have not scored in the first two games of the Stanley Cup. And don't give me the cheap empty netter by Marchand in game one. I don't count that. We don't count that. So tonight, I expect the Bees to come out and dominate. And I expect it to start up front with Pasternak, Marchand, and Bergeron, who have been completely invisible in the first two games of the series. Well, Marchand was okay in game one, but I didn't like what I saw in game two. It was bad. Marchand's turnover at mid-ice, which led to the goal. I'm not blaming that on Chara. I know we all know Zdeno is stuck in slow motion, but that wasn't his fault. It was Marchand turned the puck over and gave up on his man. And then Pasternak turning it over behind the net. Inexcusable. Just inexcusable. They've got to be better. I don't know what it is. There's a part of Pasternak's game that you love it when you see it in the regular season. He's a tremendous goal scorer, so ridiculously skilled, but ultimately he's too finesse, he's too soft, and he needs to step up and he needs to become a man the way that Bergeron and Marchand did in the run to the Cup in 2011 against Vancouver, because I haven't seen that of Pasternak yet. I don't trust him. As a matter of fact, I would drop him to the second line and put Krejci up on the one line. I like that better this year when Bergeron was out for a while, and I want to see Bruce Cassidy do that again tonight. I want to put Krejci on the top line, but instead of Bergeron not being there because Bergeron's healthy, I want to drop Pasternak down. 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on the Red Sox and why this season right now they are 8.5 games behind in the American League East. They look like a team 180 degrees different than they were 1 year ago. Kent in a truck. You're up first here today. What's up, Kent?
Thanks for taking the call. I do think you're being a little harsh on the Red Sox.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm biased, but You know, they're mediocre. They're not 180 degrees wrong. I think your Mookie Betts clip explained it well. They're very inconsistent. Dropping that Cleveland set was just inexcusable. I think they missed Kimbrel a little bit. I lost my confidence in him last year, but I think he might have saved two or three of the losses. And then they lost Kelly. And I just don't understand why the drop is so great given the consistency in the roster from last year.
By the way, Kent, you hit it right there, what you just said. Say it again, that last part you just said right there. Say it again.
I just don't understand the degree of the drop of quality of play.
Considering that basically the entire team is back except for Kelly and Kimbrel.
Exactly.
Right. I'm with you. I don't either. I don't know, but whatever they did in spring training down in Fort Myers, I hope they had fun because you know what? And I'm bringing this up Ken, I'm just throwing something against the wall right now. I wonder if the White House visit perhaps is this big, 9,000-pound gorilla in the room or pink elephant in the room that's maybe sort of subtly dividing the team. I don't know. I'm asking it. You know, it did not look good. Like, the whole thing, it just didn't look good. That's all I'm saying. As a whole. After the White House.
I guess it's possible.
Yeah.
I guess that's possible. I hadn't thought of that.
Right. So it's something to just think about. You know, I don't know, but since that visit, they've been horrible. I mean, listen, we're in a tough town, so I'm not going to pull punches. I'm just not going to do it. 617-779-7937, and this team deserves every bit of the criticism that they're getting and then some. Al in New Hampshire. What's up, Al?
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about the White House visit myself. You know, we have... a manager who happens to come from Puerto Rico and who happened to take a stance on dividing Red Sox Nation, you know, and by refusing to go to the White House, he put other players from that's Puerto Rican on the spot, and they had to stand up with their manager. So consequently, we had almost 50% of our team, and I say Red Sox team, not go to an honor to get to have a tour of the nation's White House with our president. I don't care if you hate the guy.
Right. Al
is representing in Boston.
Right. And Al, here's the thing too, is that his bosses came out, and I highly doubt, and I don't know their political prowess, but I'm just going to go ahead and glean that John Henry and Tom Werner are probably not fans of the 45th president of the United States, but they came out and said, when they were asked about it, I believe in spring training down in Fort Myers, that if you just go, you don't make it political. If you don't go, then you're making it political. And they went. They went.
Yep.
Kudos to them.
Yep.
They went and they didn't make it political. Alex Cora, listen. You know, there's a lot of, like, I go back to this. I go back to this, man. What if the 2007 Red Sox decided to not go to the White House back during the 2008 season when Obama was the president? Imagine that.
That's right.
Or in 2013, and the following season in 2014, if they didn't go when Obama was president. You don't forget about the guy... You know, the leader of the free world, you're respecting the office itself. So even if you don't like that guy, and I obviously there's a lot of people that don't, but you're respecting the fact that whether you like it or not, in a democratic country, through the ultimate democratic process, he won.
You got it.
You know what I mean?
And here's the other thing. What should happen from now on? A president should invite a team. And if the team doesn't want to go, I've got no problem with that.
Right, like Golden State. Golden State decided.
You got it.
There you go, Al. Great phone call. It's like Golden State. I have no problem with them not wanting to go. That was a team. They all decided, at like Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, they all decided not to go together. And when, and then the articles came out, I don't remember who like wrote it, but they said the White Sox are going to the White House. And you saw it up there, you know, and I respect the guys who didn't want to go. They have every right, but on Alex Cora, I don't know if it's, you go back to that White House visit and then you look at what the team has done since then and the record, it's not good. It's just not good. I'm not saying that's going to be the reason that they don't win the American League East or, you know, but I got to tell you, if your bosses say, if you don't go, you make it political. The guys who write the front of the checks, John Henry and Tom Werner, I would have gone. But, you know, he wanted to stand up for Puerto Rico, and that's fine. You know, it is what it is. But it's an interesting theory that they haven't played well since then. I'm not blaming it. No. I think the reason why the Red Sox have been absolutely mediocre since last year is because they're living in 2018. I don't think it has anything to do actually with the White House visit. It's just a little conspicuous. That's all I'm saying. 617-779-7937. I'll continue to take your phone calls on this. Nick and Fall River, I see you. Patience is a virtue. Brian, Dave, Rose, and Callie, and Scott. We'll get to all your phone calls. One line open right here on WEEI.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Yeah, I can confirm it. Yeah, I'm not going. Like the report said, you know, the government has done, you know, some things back home that are great, you know, but as the report said, you know, we still have a long ways to go, you know, and that's our reality. So, you know, it's pretty tough, you know, to go celebrate when we're in where we at, you know, and I'd rather not go and just be consistent with everything.
That was Alex Cora when he ultimately decided back not to go to the White House. Red Sox now 8.5 games back in the AL East. Back to the phone, 617-779-7937. Nick in Fall River, thanks for holding.
Hey, how are you, Mark?
Good, Nick.
Hey, I'm calling just on a couple different notes. If you can give me a minute and keep your finger away from the thumb button. I just wanted to make comment on the fact that I've been listening to you for a while, and I give you the benefit of the doubt for the time you've been on the air. I've been an EEI, you know, listener. I'm very loyal to EEI for a very long time. And these names that you come up with, I understand it's kind of a shtick, and it somewhat started to work when you first started coming up with them last year with, like, the, you know, comments about the bullpen and whatever else it may be. But the other things that you come across and say, it's like you make these deliveries. They almost sound like you know, like the father of Dr. Evil. Like these claims, like they're absurd claims of, you know, from rap music in the Midwest, you know, Western Massachusetts to, you know, this claim to fame about knowing Steph Curry.
There's no claim to fame. You can check on my Twitter handle. I'm interviewing him. There's no claim. It's actually he says I'm his favorite sports talk host. It's right on my Twitter handle. It's a, you know,
and,
right.
And okay. You know what? I very well may believe it, and it's not a bad thing. But I guess you just putting it out there, in a sense, shows that you're looking for some type of, like,
Nick, you got a minute and a half. So what's your point on, like, the Red Sox or the Bruins? What do you got? You got a minute and a half.
Well,
so
my point to the Red Sox is basically, you know, given the time, but it's more so, Mark, my call is actually to you as a host, and I'm certainly not here to give you advice or be your agent or producer. However, you make very valid points.
Okay.
But it's your delivery. And
I got you.
In your delivery, you.
All right, Nick, thank you. Appreciate the phone call. 617-779-7937.
Boring!
thanks for the life advice, though. I appreciate it. I really do. I don't negative, positive. It doesn't matter. We're trying to figure out the Red Sox. I'm not having an existential meltdown here. So but I do appreciate that the constructive criticism. Brian in a car. What's up, Brian?
Oh, yeah, I'm just calling two quick things. Yeah, the Red Sox, one thing you have to realize, they're the World Series champions, so every time they come to town or someone comes into Fenway, they're stepping up their game because they want to do well against the world champions. Nobody talks about that too much because they want to, the other teams are getting really up for these games. And the other thing is they definitely do need a closer. Their management needs to pony up and sign Kimbrel or somebody of that level as well, so... Thanks, and I'll.
All right, cool. I don't know if they're gonna to be in the market of doing that. I mean, I don't know if who's out there. Like Dallas Keuchel's not the answer. I think something I would consider, put Steven Wright in the rotation, and when Eovaldi comes back, put him as the closer, or put Barnes is the closer, and Eovaldi, as I said, I mean, I know, it's a $68 million, like, the money that you didn't give Kimbrel, you gave to Eovaldi, and you didn't bring him back to be a closer or come out of the bullpen, but you gave him $68 million, you might as well get some use out of him. So there's that. I don't know. I wouldn't mind, Steven Wright, I don't like a knuckleballer as a closer, maybe as a setup man, fine. Brazier is just... He's just a waste. He's a waste of a payroll. He's pathetic. I every time Brazier came, he's like the new Joe Kelly.
Brazier has thrown the ball
right
for him.
Yeah.
He's touching 99 last night.
Yeah, down goes Brazier every time he comes out there. That's all I think of is the late, great Howard Cosell. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Brazier. Oh, he's awful. I mean, if there's any guy who's legally stealing a paycheck, it's Ryan Brazier. 617-779-7937. Dave in Connecticut. What's up, Dave?
Hey, listen, I just wanted to get back to the core thing a little bit. I think you're 100% right on what you're saying, or people are saying that it is dividing the team. And for me, I think it was a huge mistake on his part not going to the White House. And I get it. You stand up for Puerto Rico. I do understand that part of it, But how about this? You have the ear of a sitting president. You can walk around the White House and talk to him and say, this is the things that I want to maybe try to help my citizens with. Instead, you don't go to the, you had a chance to talk to a president and maybe help people. Instead, you don't go, and now you create controversy. And this, I think it was a big mistake. I really do. I think he could have done something for maybe his people in Puerto Rico instead of ignoring the invitation and not going.
Yeah, and Dave too, like when you saw the picture and you saw them on the steps there at the Oval Office and you saw that there were no whatsoever minorities in that picture, it wasn't a good look.
It wasn't a good look, and you can bring people together by these things and you can try to help things, but just ignoring the invitation to our country's house, I just don't think it was a good decision, and I do think it's separating the team. And I have four kids, four daughters, and a couple of my kids are like, why didn't he go to the president? They invited him. He didn't go. I said, I tried to explain it diplomatically. Well, that's his decision, and he made it, but I don't agree with it.
No, and yeah, especially when his bosses said, if you don't go, you make it political. That was the thing.
100% right. They were 100% right there. If you go. And you get your picture, and like you can walk around the White House with the president of the free, the leader of the free world. And maybe, and Donald Trump loves if he could do something for them, maybe out of that meeting,
it would be
good for them too.
And you know what, Dave, you bring up a really good point, because I'll tell you this right now, and I can't believe I'm using her because she's no paragon of virtue by any stretch of the imagination, but Kim Kardashian, of all people, has gone to the White House, and she has gotten several people pardoned from death row, from maximum.
100%.
Right. So if Cora,
the ear of a president, I mean,
right.
You got to, that's a huge, I mean, it's something that you can't just, throw away, in my opinion.
You're right, Dave. By the way, I'm with you. Listen, Alex Cora has every right to exercise his decision to not go, but if I were him, I would have gone. I don't think any less of him because he didn't go. if I were him, I would have gone. Because, and I just thought of that, like the Kim Kardashian thing. She's gotten several people pardoned by going to the White House and talking to the President of the United States. And he's pardoned them. Okay? So, you know, you probably could have done more help for Puerto Rico than you did by not going, which was, a sign of disrespect. And you could have said, hey, listen, I want to go. I want to get a couple minutes with the president. I want to talk to him alone and just give him my thoughts and think if he could do more to support where I'm from. I think he could have done more help. It couldn't have hurt him. Couldn't have hurt Puerto Rico. It is what it is, but I think it would have done, it would have helped out Puerto Rico and his situation concurrently. That's my opinion, but it is what it is. All I know is the Red Sox are 8.5 games back of the Yankees, and they are falling, and they have not gotten up yet. 617-779-7937. What's wrong with the not only the Red Sox, the Bruins, and, oh, by the way, start spreading the news, Frank Sinatra. There ain't no way Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis are coming to Boston after July 1st. That has gone on, and perhaps the Celtics are moving on. We'll get to that and more. Mark James here on WEI. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Brazier. Oh, he's awful.